Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Chapter 20. I'll read verses 13 through 38, a minister's farewell. A minister's farewell. Now, I haven't chosen this passage this morning because Pastor Steve's been gone quite a bit, and he hasn't said farewell formally, and he didn't ask me to say farewell. He's still alive and well, and he's still your pastor, of course. But I did retire from 30-some years of pastoring. I retired on July the 11th, and this was my last message to the church where I was pastoring there at the Lamont Community Church. So I thought that it would be good to bring some of the truths that I feel are helpful not only for the Lamont congregation as their pastor bid farewell and moved on, but even if you still have your pastor, that there are some principles here that would be very helpful. Now, I misunderstood when somebody told me that the elders would not be here today. I thought I was going solo, no elders, no pastor, but I'm glad that the elders are here because there are great applications for them also and for the congregation. So may God bless the message and his word as I read quickly, beginning with verse 13, since we have a long passage, and I will conclude my reading at verse 38. Hear God's word, Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 13. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived at Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and he prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Let us bow our heads as I lead us in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Your word is truth. Thank you, Father, that we have hearts that long to know your word and to know your truth. We pray, Father, that your worshipers today would humble themselves before your word. May we approach it with meekness, and may we have your Spirit's assistance to understand and to embrace and to bow before your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The last time I spoke with you, I indicated that I attended an installation service a few weeks ago for a young pastor who was about to be installed. Some of you didn't hear my little illustration about that pastor because you perhaps were not here, so I want to share that with you because it has application for the message. So as I sat there at Redeemer Church in Ada, and the young pastor who was about to be installed was sitting there in the front row, the keynote speaker said these words, and they were very pointed words and humbling words. He said, "Remember that someday you will die. They will put you in a box, they'll throw dirt in your face, then they will forget all about you." Those are the words that I reminded my congregation of when I said farewell to them. And I don't know if they wanted to chuckle or to cry. I didn't know if I wanted to chuckle a little bit or to cry, and I think we did both. And that's what we see going on here in the book of Ephesians. Paul is saying farewell to the elders there at Ephesus. Well, the church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to the elders of the church, and it doesn't belong to me, a pastor. It belongs to Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the church. In God's wisdom and in his mercy and grace, he has ordained that under-shepherds would care for his church. Those under-shepherds are pastors and elders. Well, eventually the pastor, he moves on. Either he finds another calling or he dies and moves on, and the Lord provides another minister. So my sermon text this morning from Acts chapter 20 is known as Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. Paul's address is unique in that it reveals Paul the pastor rather than Paul the missionary or Paul the evangelist or Paul the defender of the faith. We see Paul then with a little bit different role in this passage. He's Paul the pastor. And we want to open this passage up and use three headings this morning to unfold what God has for us here. The first thing we notice is Paul's personal testimony to the elders. And secondly, Paul's charge to the elders. And then finally, Paul's prayer for the elders. Paul's personal testimony, his specific charge, and his prayer. Notice, first of all, Paul's testimony to the Ephesian elders. Paul had spent 3 electrifying years with the Ephesian church. I use that word electrifying because they were. The Spirit of God obviously was in the Apostle Paul in his preaching and in his ministry. And so these people were no longer men and women and boys and girls who were unbelievers. They were now different. They had been born again. They had come to know the grace found only in Jesus Christ. And they had grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eventually, Paul's work in Ephesus was finished, and he was led to other mission fields. After Paul left Ephesus, he eventually traveled by ship toward Jerusalem. We read about that in the opening passage that I read to you just a moment ago. Now, we noticed in that passage that the ship pulled into a little place called Miletus for a few days, which was 30 miles south of Ephesus. While Paul had this brief layover, his heart became very heavy. Paul had some time on his hands there, so he began to think about his relationship with the Ephesus church and with the elders there, and his heart was very troubled. He had left some things that were very important unsaid, and he wanted to say it to the Ephesian elders. So he sent word somehow to these elders there in Ephesus to join him here at Miletus for his lengthy farewell address. The elders whom Paul assembled here at Miletus were not what we would call ruling elders, as we have in our church here this morning and in many other churches. They were more like teaching elders or pastors. However, what we say this morning does also have application to our ruling elders who are here this morning, and obviously to pastors. In the early church, these spiritual leaders were ordained by the apostles. Imagine that, having an ordination service here at Cedar Church and having an apostle ordain that individual. Well, that doesn't happen because all the apostles have died, but we do ordain ministers and elders for the work of the gospel and for the church. And so Paul was entrusting the future of these ordained ministers, these pastors, to the church at Ephesus, and he was committing them to the work there to be under shepherds of the people. He had a lot of trust in those elders. He had a lot of trust in those pastors. And then he moved on after instructing them. Paul begins then his testimony by describing seven things to these pastors, to these elders. And it could have been a whole lot more, but he stopped at seven. And we want to open those seven things up, these seven things that he did in their presence for 3 years of ministry. What a testimony. And I hope all of these testimonies that he has could be our testimonies also. They have relevance for us also. Well, notice the first thing he says by way of testimony, he says he served with humility. He served with humility. Notice there in verses 18 and 19, he served with humility. In verse 18, he says to them first, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. Now, at first glance, it looks like the Apostle Paul is bragging about his humility, like the guy that wrote a book and it was entitled Humility and How I Achieved It. We've all heard that one. And that's not what Paul is saying here. He is saying that my ministry is all about Jesus Christ. Paul did not go to people simply as a scholar instructing them in theology. His heart was with them, so he also humbly wept and he prayed with them. Humility is important, of course, because the opposite of humility is pride. Pride. Now, pride is one of those things that you don't really have to tell people what the definition is. When you see somebody that is arrogant and prideful, you know it when you see it. When Paul speaks of his humility in verse 19, it wasn't self-serving and it wasn't inconsistent with his character, but his ministry among them had not been about himself. They listened to his preaching, they listened to him and watched him as he worked in their presence day in and day out, And they were not moved to say the following. They were not moved to say, oh, what a great man Paul is. But rather, they were moved to say, by the Holy Spirit and by what they saw in Paul, oh, what a great God Paul has. He had pointed them away from himself by pointing them to Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be doing, dear friends. Our service for Christ is not about ourselves. We point people to Christ. And when they look at our lives, we hope that they say, oh, what a great God the people at Cedar Church have. Oh, what a great God the elders at Cedar Church have. Oh, what a great God Pastor Steve has. And then they're just moved to serve him even better. We read about that in verse 24 of our text. Look there at verse 24. In verse 24, Luke writes, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, he's speaking of the Apostle Paul, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Pride is a great danger for anyone, especially for those who are in prominent positions of church leadership who stand up and talk. Paul had gifts that had been used in the ministry, but they were gifts that had been given to him by God. All church workers could make a greater impact for Christ if they remembered this principle that Paul practiced, that all the gifts that he had and all the graces that he had were a gift from God. That's humility when we make that acknowledgement and believe it from the bottom of our hearts. Paul served in humility, not as a religious celebrity, demanding that others serve him. But notice, secondly, Paul's testimony is also a powerful one in verses 19 and 31 because he is not ashamed to admit to his friends that he also had shed tears in his ministry. He had shed tears in his ministry to the people. Paul's ministry was not out of a mere sense of professionalism. It was more than just routinely going through the motions of preaching and teaching and visiting people because he had to do it. No, he didn't have to do it. Well, he did in a sense that that was his calling, but he wasn't a professional. He wasn't doing it to earn a paycheck. He was doing it to please God. You see, Paul had actually fallen in love with the people to whom he ministered to. He had formed friendships and loyalties. He had known companionship with these people, and they had loved him and cared for him in return. He had been in their homes. He stood by them in times of sorrow and in times of grief. Ministry in the church should always be this way. There should be the closest bond between a pastor and his congregation and between the elders of the church and the congregation, there should be this close bond. The empathy that Paul had for other people was not something they saw in the world around them. I remember visiting my brother in Dallas, Texas a few years ago, and he said that the church that he went to was a big church. I asked him how big. He says, oh, 20,000. So we got there, and the attendance was pretty low that week. I don't know why. There were only 12,000 people there. And then when it came to the baptisms, there must have been, 25 or 30 people baptized that this morning. It was a wonderful thing to see. It really was. But, you know, the pastor there, he was almost like a CEO. I appreciated this sermon. I've seen him preach on TV, and he's a wonderful preacher, and I'm sure that he's sincere and all the rest, but somebody once asked me on the phone, one of the members of the church called me, who was a friend of my brother's, and he said, tell me, how can I have an intimate relationship. How can I get to know the pastors, there are more than one, and the elders of my church when the church is so big? Pretty good question. He was having a hard time just getting to know the pastor, even to have a 15-second conversation with the pastors and the elders. That's not Paul. Paul was not about that. He was in their homes. He was in their rooms where they were sick, praying for them. And he loved them and knew them well, and he had empathy for them. But notice the third thing, after reminding the elders of the attitude with which he had done his work, he had done it in humility and with tears, he tells them in his testimony the focus of his ministry. Now, what was the focus of his ministry? What should be the focus of a pastor's ministry and an elder's ministry? And we read again at verse 20, if you'll go there. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. The heart and soul of Paul's ministry was the way of forgiveness through faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. The other day I was walking with a man on the west side of Grand Rapids. We were distributing some flyers for a church that might spring up there. We hope it does. And he said to me out of the clear blue, if you had one sermon to preach to these people on the west side of Grand Rapids, what would it be? And I said, Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He said, that's a good one. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's really what Paul's ministry was all about. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his entire focus. And he was telling people, you must be saved because God is not for you unless you are. If you are saved, you are on the way to heaven. And the wrath that now is going to come crashing down on your heads if you're unconverted doesn't have to happen. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who is God for? His people. For his elect. And yet the amazing thing is that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the unconverted. We don't know who the elect are. We don't know if they're converted or not. And yet God knows all about it, and God saves sinners as we preach the gospel of Jesus, as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. That was Paul's emphasis. If God is for us, who can be against us? Aren't you glad this morning that God is for you? He's not against you. Some of us have come here this morning maybe thinking that you didn't live a very good Christian life last week and God must now be against you. If you're a Christian and if you sinned last week, if you're ashamed of it, the good news is the same good news that he preached to the Ephesians. There's hope and there's forgiveness. And that was Paul's emphasis, not anything else at all. We could list 100 things that are the wrong emphasis in churches and many churches, but the one good thing that is emphasized in those churches that preach the gospel is this: we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. But we see here Paul not being a big hotshot. He just didn't do it in the church. He did it from home to home. He didn't think he was too good to get into their homes. He did not say to himself, oh, I'm such a great preacher, I'm such a great scholar, it's beneath me to go into somebody's home and open up the word of God. Oh, it's beneath me to have a small group to share with 3 or 4 people the gospel of Jesus and to disciple them. And many of the churches throughout America today, there is one thing that is not the focus, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's one of the best kept secrets in too many churches. Then a fourth thing Paul had by way of a testimony, we see it here in our passage, he preached the whole counsel of God. We read about it there in verses 26 and 27. Look there at verses 26 and 27. He preached the whole counsel of God. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. What an amazing thing it is that Paul was faithful. He just didn't pick and choose, but he preached the whole counsel of God. The New King James Version says, I kept back nothing. The ESV, English Standard Version, for I did not shrink back. Not drawing back or shrinking back out of fear or regard for another. He refused to shrink back from preaching the whole counsel of God. Theologian John Stott called Paul's work an example of evangelism in depth. He said this about Paul's ministry: Paul shared all possible truth with all possible people in all possible ways. And that's why Paul could say in verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Pastor R.C. Sproul says it this way. He says, I worry that when I stand before Christ at his judgment seat, that he is going to say, R.C., what did you keep back? What were you afraid to preach? It was your task to proclaim the whole counsel of God. Paul preached it all. Grace, mercy, the wrath of God, and repentance. Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ that he had received from God, and he didn't hold back anything that they needed. Well, there was a fifth testimony that we read about here that Paul gave to the Ephesian elders. He preached to everybody. He preached to everybody. He didn't just pick and choose to whom he would preach. Look at verse 21. He says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Wherever he went, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, he preached to all men. He ministered beyond his comfort zone. What about you, dear friends? Do you minister beyond your comfort zone? We are to minister to all and bring the gospel to all. But then Paul had a sixth testimony to the elders. We find it in verse 24. Paul had the right priorities. Paul had the right priorities. Again, verse 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task. The Lord has given me the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Most of us value our lives far more than our witness. We value the praise of men far more than the approval of God. Is that true in your life? Are you afraid to witness to others about the Lord Jesus because you might get embarrassed? Do you value your life more than the gospel? You're afraid you might be persecuted? Paul was not afraid of that. Paul had his right priorities. Notice the final testimony, the seventh one. Paul says about himself that he labored without greed and demonstrated his concern for the Ephesians by hard work. By hard work. Look at verses 34 and 35. He demonstrated that he was a hard worker and he wasn't greedy. Verse 34, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This isn't teaching that a pastor cannot be supported financially by the church. In fact, it is biblical to support your pastor financially so that he can spend his time ministering to the church and to the community. But what Paul is really saying here is that he didn't put money first in his life, that he put Christ first and the church first. And he is also saying we are to give ourselves in all kinds of ways. In the process, we glorify God in the good that he is doing to others through us. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we're called to be living sacrifices. And in Galatians 6, 9 and 10, Paul says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. How about you, elders? You getting pretty tired? Those meetings that you have, those session meetings get pretty late, and you have a lot of them, and you're burned out. How about you, church members? Are you about ready to give up because you're tired? Do not give up. Look to Christ for strength. Move forward and onward in your service. John Wesley, he shares his wisdom with us. He said, do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Is that your commitment this morning? Do all the good you can by God's grace to all the people you can as long as you can. Well, those are the seven things that Paul brought by way of a testimony. But notice quickly a second point that is made here in the passage. Paul concludes his farewell address to the elders with the charge and a prayer. And we read in verse 28, he charges them, the elders, to engage in a pastor's self-watch. And we read about that in verse 28, a pastor's self-watch. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds to God's people. Are your elders doing that? Is Pastor Igo doing that? I trust that they are, because that's what they're called to do, to be shepherds. Pray for them as they shepherd God's flock and as they look at their own hearts and walk closely with God. A.W. Tozer, a theologian and tremendous book writer, he said this. He said, do you know who gives me the most trouble? Do you know who I pray for the most in my pastoral work? Just myself, that's who. I pray for myself. And that's what Paul did too. He prayed for himself. Are you praying for yourself, elders? Are you praying that you'll be the kind of shepherds that God would want you to be? And it begins in your own personal private devotions and walk with God. Notice our final point, and it's found in verses 36 through 38. The third and final point is his address to the elders about prayer, his prayer for the elders. After Paul finished speaking and giving this testimony, all that was left for him was to board the ship and leave. And in verses 36 through 38, we catch a glimpse of the depth of the emotion as he was about to leave town and go elsewhere. Listen to verses 36 through 38. 36 through 38. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and he prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Commentator James Montgomery Boyce, he said it like this. I have not tried to build an earthly fortune. He's speaking of Paul. I have not tried to build an earthly fortune, said Paul about himself. I have not coveted anyone's gold. I have not been in this religion business to become wealthy. The reason I have not done that is that I have had my eyes set upon the inheritance laid up for me in heaven. My dear friends, if you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, you will have treasure forever. All of the sacrifices Paul made, they weren't in vain. People came to know Christ, and Paul was rewarded for it, and he's in heaven today. You also will be rewarded. If you have been saved by grace through Jesus Christ and try to serve him wholeheartedly now, spiritual treasures will be waiting for you in heaven when you get there. These treasures are the eternal well-being of your soul, eternal joy, eternal pleasure, basking in and enjoying the favor of God forever. Martin Luther once said these words. He said, I would rather be in hell with Jesus than anywhere else, because where Jesus is, that is heaven. Where Jesus is, that is heaven. Let's close with this reading from 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Hear God's word from 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Are you rich today? You're rich if you know Christ as your Savior and the spiritual treasures that are awaiting us in heaven are beyond our imagination, but remain faithful. Pray for your pastor, pray for your elders. Elders, I know you're praying. Keep praying for Pastor Igo. Keep praying for the sheep here at Cedar. And may God richly bless Cedar Church. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the example that Paul has set for us. But above that, we thank you for the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an example of humility as he washed the feet of his disciples there in John chapter 13. What an example of humility and tireless service for his Heavenly Father as he went about doing good. All that he did was to glorify and magnify his Heavenly Father. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we have this great privilege of humbly serving Christ. And may people look at us and say, oh, he must, oh, she must, oh, they must have a great God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.